Good evening. This is Pigskin Picks, brought to you by Food City, Delegate Terry Kilgore, and Eastman Credit Union.
Welcome in here on a Thursday night, as always. Pigskin Picks on 93.5 WAXM. Jacob Townsend, Corey Sanchez, and Zach Helton here with you, as always, on a Thursday night on Pigskin Picks on 93.5 WAXM. We're getting you set for week number three in high school football in Southwest Virginia. We'll also recap week number two here in just a few moments. Northeast Tennessee and Eastern Kentucky heading into week four. College football heading into week two. We'll touch on everything that happened in that slate over the first week. We'll also, though, give you our Super Bowl picks for this year as the NFL gets kicked off tonight as the Fighting James Mitchells of the Detroit Lions take on the Kansas City Chiefs out west in Arrowhead in Kansas City. And also, we'll be joined by the head coaches in a big Region 1D clash. It may be sliding a little bit under the radar. It shouldn't. Honaker and Rye Cove. Todd Tillett, the head coach of the Tigers. Gary Collier, the head coach of the Eagles, will join us later on the show, as well as our Eastman Credit Union guest picker. That's our 2021 champion, Heather Williams from News Channel 5, WCYB, and Fox Tri-City. So a lot to get to here tonight, fellas, but good evening. Zach, how are you?
Man, if I was doing any better, people in a county 3 hours away wouldn't love me, so I'm doing pretty good.
Thank you very much. All right. Zach is doing okay, it sounds like. Corey, how about you?
Doing great. Very talkative and undisciplined.
That's our new motto. Thank you very much. All right. Hey, we were talking of undisciplined Friday night when we were broadcasting Union and Richlands on 93.5 WAXM, trying to make it through that broadcast. As it was a massacre once again, as the Bears continued their pitching the shutout of 2023. Union wins it 41-0. We were all on the Bears. Corey, what's your thoughts on Union? It's the first time you saw them this year so far.
Domination. They look a lot better. I think that Rayshon Anderson, the ball is coming out of his hands a lot quicker. He's got a lot more zip when he throws that ball. Paul Huff is a man out there, a very athletic wide receiver. We talked about Brent Lovell. He was my canine of the game there. He had a couple of sacks and a lot I think like three tackles for loss in there. So Union looked the part down. I know Zach always gets on me for calling them the Blue Tornadoes, but they were the Blue No Tornadoes there because they just – I don't know what happened to them, but those boys didn't show up, and the scoreboard reflected it.
I don't know if it wasn't certainly an effort problem. They played hard. They're not a very good football team right now, Zach. Sometimes it comes down to just being that simple. Somebody's just sometimes 41 points better than you. And I think you maybe made the case that Union was even maybe a little bit more than that, if not for a running clock and then putting in some reserves there in the second half for Travis Turner's squad. But Union wins at 41-0 at Bullitt Park.
Yeah, they're a young group. They're a little undersized. It's just a little bit different look than, you know, a lot of people have been accustomed to Richlands football the past couple of years. And yeah, Corey, it's Blue Tornado because as a team, they're one collective tornado, but they're not really swirling that well right now. So it didn't really matter what you call them. It's a tough fall in Richlands, but hopefully some of these lumps will turn into, productive teams on down the road and getting these guys some great time and, you know, on the road at Union. That's always a good test, and this schedule's not going to get it much easier going forward. But, yeah, I'm hopeful for this young group that they continue to head in the right direction, and for the future they can figure it out.
Yeah, when I was talking to a couple of people on that staff prior to and after the game, they're hoping that they can just keep everybody there together. They don't get discouraged, get lost on what this season may end up being as the way it looks for the first 2 weeks. But Union's rolling. They haven't given up a point yet. You brought it up, Corey. Rayshon Anderson, really good Friday night. Keith Chandler, 4 touchdowns. Alvin Rasnick, who we spoke to prior to the game, a Union fan, Union teacher there at the primary school, sent me a message this week. Paul Huff, the Swiss Army knife for Union, is what he sent me over this week. I liked it. We'll use it. And I like the Bears. I don't know if I'll like them this week when we pick the games later on the show because they've got a tough stretch coming up here over the next few weeks. But and it gets started. The Science Hill comes over from Johnson City on Friday night. But they roll for the first two against Lehigh and Richlands. Central drops their first game of the year. They lose to Marion, who lost to Chilhowee in week one. Marion 27, Central 12. The only guy who picked the Hurricanes last week, Zach Helton. Zach, nice job.
Well, you know, I spent some time in Marion at the loony bin. So I'm a pretty big fan of the folks at Marion. They're great people. I'm telling you, I'm high on the Scarlet Hurricanes.
I hope so. You picked him. I hope it wasn't fake. Central, though, Corey, you'll see him Friday night as they host Ridgeview. A sleepwalk performance to get a win against Eastside 14-7. They lose this one 27-12. The Warriors not looking great through the first 2 weeks. They've combined for 26 points for two games.
Yeah.
As Ridgeview comes to town.
Yeah, not very good for the old Feather Warriors. And I don't know what's going on. You can't get above 20 against Eastside, a team that you dominate. Well, granted, there's been a lot of turnover.
Yeah.
But Marion, who lost, who only managed 9 points against Chilhowee, scored 27, back-to-back onside kicks to start the game, and they recover both of them. So, there's a lot of questions to be asked about Central and what they're looking like. And, you know, I think we all picked them to finish maybe in the lower middle pack of the Mountain District. But right now, I mean, are they – you know, are they the ones that are looking up at the other six right now?
I think right now you'd have to say they are.
Yeah.
And we'll find out. They'll face John Battle. They'll face the other teams there as well in the coming weeks. But right now, I think so. I think you'd have to say that. And it's a tough stretch right now for them as Ridgeview comes to town. Then it's Letcher County Central the following week prior to their bye week in a few weeks for Jason Mullins' squad. Eastside goes on the road and beats Hurley 38-32 in overtime. Zach, the Spartans went on the last play of the game in overtime over the Rebels up there on the cliff. And Eastside is a team that you like to sort of bounce back this year. They nearly knocked off Central, and then they pick up win number one on the road against the Rebels.
Yeah, I'm high on the Spartans this year. I think they're going to be a good ball club. Anytime you can go into Hurley and take away a win is big. Even when Hurley's not that good, as they may not be this year, that's always a tough place to play. So a big win in overtime, and then that's a long road trip. They'll get ready this week, and then tomorrow they're on another big long road trip, which we'll talk about later. But I like this Spartan group. If they can weather this early road trip storm in this season, I think they're going to be a force in the Cumberland.
The Black Diamond District that is now just Hurley, Grundy, and Twin Valleys that combined 1-5 for the first 2 weeks of the season. That one win was Twin Valleys over Phelps in week one before they got knocked off in blowout fashion 54-0 by Montcalm, West Virginia this past week. Grundy's 0-2, Hurley's 0-2. Somebody from that district has to win that district, and somebody most likely is going to make the playoffs out of that district. So we'll see how that ends up going there. Once we get to the end of the season. But nice win there for Eastside as they pick up win number one of the year for Mike Rhodes and the Spartans. Other games last week, Chilhowee blew out J.I. Burton 56-20. Tanner Cook, our guest picker last week, is the only one that picked the Raiders. Lehigh blew out Thomas Walker 41-7. We were all in the Generals. Ridgeview over Grundy 56-7. Everybody on the Wolfpack. Everybody liked Honaker in the battle for Russell County, I should say, against Castlewood. They did so 60-8. Zach Helton was the only one on Virginia High against John Battle. Went well for him. 13-6, Bearcats get the win. Rykov shut out Northwood 42-0. We all like the Eagles. And we all picked Gate City, who squeaked it out against Middlesboro at home, 24-18. Last week, Zach Helton, a perfect 11-for-11 in Southwest Virginia. Good work, sir. Good work.
I'd like to thank everyone who has faith in me tuning into this show. You know, it's about y'all. It's not about me. It's about y'all.
There it is. We'll see if we can do so this week as well when we get to the picks later on in the show. We'll also let you know in a few moments if that path continued into the other portions of our picking last week. I would say it did not. Corey and I had 9 out of 11. Tanner Cook, 8 out of 11. Standings for 2 weeks, guys, we're all 16 out of 22. We're right there together, 72.7% in Southwest Virginia. Last week in Northeast Tennessee, Dobbins Bennett blew out Westridge 47-21. Corey Sanchez, the only one of the Dobbins Bennett of the Indians.
Go band.
Daniel Boone shut out David Crockett. Corey and I had Boone, the Trailblazers, to get the win over David Crockett, who were quite shorthanded and by late notice on Friday. I'll tell you that for Hayden Shanley's squad. Sullivan East blew out Volunteer 40-13. We all like the Patriots. Science Hill fell to Jefferson County 25-21. We were all on the Hilltoppers. Oops. Morristown West over Tennessee High 32-20. I was the only one who liked the Trojans. Unicoi County over Pigeon Forge 11-6. Zach Helton, the only one on the Blue Devils. Elizabeth and Blue Hawk Granger 65-14. We all liked the Cyclones. It was Twin Springs going over to Unica and winning 42-0. We all liked the Titans. Last week in Tennessee, myself and Corey had 5. Zach 4, Tanner 3. Standings in Tennessee, myself 19, Corey 16, Zach 13. In Eastern Kentucky last week, Bell County beat Letcher County Central 52-18. Zach was the only one of the Cougars. Pike County Central keeps the roll going, beating Harlan by a weird score, 14-2. We all liked PCC. Belfry blew out Johnson Central 48-20. Corey was the only one on Johnson Central. And it was Leslie County keeping McGoffin County winless so far, 37-0. We all liked Leslie County. I was perfect 4-for-4. Corey and Zach 3-out-of-4. In Kentucky, 17 out of 21 is me. Zach's 15 out of 21. Corey is 13 out of 21. High school last week, myself and Zach had 18. Corey, 17. Standings, myself, 52. Corey, 44. And Zach, 43. All right, guys, let's pick some games in Eastern Kentucky. Let's start off with Leslie County traveling to Harlan. Corey, who do you like?
Give me Leslie Nielsen County.
Leslie County on the road for Corey. Zach.
Give me Lisa Leslie County.
There you go, Lisa Leslie County. Maybe Lisa Turtle Leslie County. I don't know. Something we'll say by the bell there. You never know. It's a little bit of a force. I apologize.
It is very forceful.
I'll go Leslie County at home. They've won 4 out of the last 5, 7 out of the last 9. Harlan, though, actually does lead the series 11-8. I will take Leslie County on the road, though, as well. Hazard travels to Letcher County Central on the road. Go Hazard to take on the Cougars. Both teams sit 1-2. Zach, where are you at on this one?
It's me, and just give me all the Cougars.
LCC. We saw a shirt that was sort of pointing that direction at the Union game. The other night. Remember that? I liked it.
What
you had on this one?
Yeah, overalls.
With the shirt?
Yeah. you know me. I'm always down with LCC, but the only Hazard is to the Cougars. Give me Hazard.
Wow, you're going to go Hazard. Okay. I was so lost.
I know. Yeah, there you go.
Hazard actually controls the all-time series, 9-2. Valley Letcher County Central at home. I'm going to go with LCC. We'll see them on WAXM here in a couple of weeks. Shelby Valley travels to Middlesboro. They both sit 2-1. Corey, who do you like there between the Wildcats and the Yellow Jackets?
I like the Yellow Jackets at home.
That would be Middlesboro coming off the loss to Gate City. Zach.
Yeah, I'm going to go Yellow Jackets as well.
Middlesboro for Corey and Zach. I'm going to go Middlesboro as well, fighting Larry French's. They get back in the win column of the 3-1. This all-time series is 3-3. It's been streaky. Shelby Valley won the first 3. Middlesboro's won the last 3. Let's make it 4 in a row. Give me Middlesboro. Last one in Kentucky. Bell County's undefeated, Zach. They travel to Perry County Central, who's 2-1. Who wins?
Bell County could be playing Cuba, and I'm still going to pick Cuba. I'm going to go Perry County Central here. In this one.
That sounds like a missile.
About pride.
That was
it's
a missile fire
pride.
Across the line there.
It's about pride.
Thank you. Corey, where are you at here between Bell County and Perry County Central?
If it was the Taliban, would you pick
Bell County? No.
Bell County.
No.
Hey.
No.
Maybe.
Maybe you pick it. See, I got him to say maybe. I'm picking Bell County, though.
I'd have to see what the spread is.
Yeah. See what the line is. Maybe go over under on that one. Maybe a first half. I'm going to go Bell County on the road. They've won the previous 6 in this series. Give them all 7. A little 7th heaven there for Dudley Hilton and the Wildcats. I'll go Bell County. First time they played each other, though, since 2006. All right, coming up, we recap college football week 1. 4 downs of college football questions, including about Deion Sanders, Ohio State. Are you buying in a Florida State or are you doubting Clemson more after week 1? And which SEC East team are you doubting the most after week 1 as well? Also, Tennessee, Virginia Tech pick up some wins. We'll look at that as well as the Eliminator. Anybody want to make any changes after week 1? We'll find out as we continue right here on Pigskin Picks on 93.5 WAXM.
Each morning I arrive while the world still sleeps, slicing fresh cuts of certified Angus beef.
Yeah, that's my food, City Butcher. I need your advice.
How about a gourmet burger with a little spice?
I'm hosting a cookout and it has to sizzle.
Try ribeyes with balsamic glaze, but just a drizzle.
Nobody does food like Food City.
Delegate Terry Kilgore proudly served in Virginia's 1st District in the House of Delegates. Terry Kilgore is a loyal and proud supporter of Southwest Virginia schools, as well as the revitalization of our area that we love to call home. Visit DelegateKilgore.com to learn more about Delegate Terry Kilgore.
From boats and motorcycles to campers and so much more, great adventures are just a click away with RV loans from Eastman Credit Union. Plus, enjoy no payments for 90 days.
ECU helped us find the RV loan that we needed.
We chose ECU for our RV loan because they have such great rates. We think everybody should choose ECU.
Live your dream now. Apply today at ecu.org/fun. Eastman Credit Union.
Heading up to San Francisco. It may be Thursday, but we're playing a little Come Monday here on Pigskin Picks on 93.5 to BXM. Rest in peace, Jimmy Buffett, Jacob Townsend, Corey Sanchez, and Zach Helton here with you tonight. As you're about to talk some college football, Zach, this was your choice. I saw your post about Jimmy Buffett passing away earlier this week. You go with Come Monday as his top song.
Oh, I no doubt believe this is his best song. You know, all the hits, which I think this was a hit as well, but I'm a Cub Monday guy. Jimmy Buffett, rest in peace. He coined the phrase, it's 5 o'clock somewhere, mm-hmm. which, I think we all overuse now, but I'll take it. And then, Cheeseburgers in Paradise, which me being about 280, I'm all for. So rest in peace, Jimmy Buffett.
Agree with them. We'll obviously have something for our friends at Smash Mouth coming up here later on.
Yes.
As well. So we're not forgetting about them. We hit all genres here on Pigskin Picks on 93.5 WXM, and we hit all teams when it comes to college football. Let's go quick here, fellas. Not a ton to talk about in these two games. Tennessee beat Virginia 49-13. We were all in the Vols. I'll just say this about Tennessee. I was impressed by the fact of their defense. I thought played well against a bad Virginia team. I thought their offense sleptwalked there for a while, and they got to figure out the punter position. They had a bad punter who shanked a couple punts there in the first half. I'd like to see a little bit more of a commanding performance in the first 30 minutes. I thought that game could have been put away early. They didn't. I would give it about a B-, C-plus from what I saw Tennessee on Saturday. And that's a credit to Josh Heupel and this team, where actually they beat a team by 36 points. They beat a Power 5 team by 36 points, and you go, C-plus, maybe B-minus at the best. That's a credit to what they've done so far over the last couple of years. They do move up a couple of spots in the rankings from number 12 to number 9. Zach, quickly here, Virginia Tech beats Old Dominion 36-17. They get win number one of the year for Brent Pryor over the Monarchs. What you think of the Hokies on Saturday night?
All wins this year are beautiful.
That's simple. No, don't need anything else. Just take the wins and be happy with it.
Yeah.
I do think that Old Dominion team's going to be pretty bad.
Yeah, they might be. Shout out to West Durham on the broadcast. Yes. Gave shout out to Carroll Dale.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
I didn't hear that.
He gave a shout out to Wise, Virginia, in southeast corner of the state. Yeah.
He said southeast.
Southwest, sorry. Southwest. Okay. I said southeast, but he said southwest.
Okay. That's former guest here on Pigskin Picks, West Durham, the new voice of the Falcons. New primetime announcer there for ACC Network, and the promotion will be of Tim Hasselbeck this year, replacing Dave O'Brien. And as Corey said, they're also the radio voice of the Atlanta Falcons. So very nice of him to give that shout out there to Carroll Dale. I do think Old Dominion is going to be one of the worst teams in the FBS this year, not Power 5, I should say. Other games, UVA Wise over Union College, 48-0. We all like the Cavaliers. Emory Henry beat Concord 56-10. Zach was the only one on the Wasps. We'll see if he'll be on the Wasps this time around. Jacksonville State blew out ETSU 49-3. We all like the Gamecocks. Florida State 45, LSU 24. Myself and Zach like the Seminoles. North Carolina ran through South Carolina the second half, 31-17. I was the only one of the Tar Heels, and it was Penn State blowing out West Virginia 38-15. We were all on the Nittany Lions. Last week in college, myself and Zach had 7, Tanner Cook 5, Corey 4. All right, fellas, time for 4 downs of college football questions. Corey, I'll start off with you. First down, Colorado beat TCU, the reigning national runner-ups, if you didn't hear Gus Johnson say that 27 times during the fourth quarter of that broadcast on Fox on Saturday afternoon. They beat them 45-42 in Fort Worth on Saturday. Colorado coming off a 1-11 year last year under Carl Durrell and the Buffaloes. Now they got primetime. Now they got Shadur. Now they got Travis Hunter. Now they got Sean Lewis as their offensive coordinator. Now they've got the former Florida State defensive coordinator Charles Kelly is their defensive coordinator. They got this nice staff. Everybody great. Are you buying into Colorado and Deion as they move into the top 25?
I bought into him before when he got there. I like what he did at Jackson State. Look, I get that Deion in the primetime vibe and all this, it can get on people's nerves. But he said he was coming, and they came, and they won. And, I mean, granted, TCU might have taken a step back this year, but I think they're going to be a force. Shadur was good against those HBCU schools, but I thought he played really well.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, he's making noise early. It's early to maybe a Heisman Trophy candidate, 510 yards through the air. And Prime is a master motivator. And I think that's what's going to get these guys to go down. I'm not going to say they're going to win every game because they're not. But I think they'll be respectable this year.
Travis Hunter played over 100 snaps. Yeah. It's been
that's not sustainable.
How many played at one time? Fox said it was like 117. Then it was 119. Then somebody said it was like 129 snaps. Either way, he played triple digit snaps. Offense, defense, got an interception, got a touchdown catch. He was the number one recruit in the country a couple years ago. That Prime got to come to Jackson State and now followed him to Colorado. Zach, are you buying into the Deion Sanders Buffaloes?
Oh yeah, I am. I bought into him, you know, as soon as it was announced. I'm big on Deion. I don't think the Travis Hunter thing can be sustainable, especially in Colorado, the high level altitude. It's going to be tough to keep that pace up in those type games. But their schedule sets up rather nicely. You've got Nebraska at home, Colorado State at home the next 2 weeks. Very winnable games, and then you go to Oregon and you host USC. Before it kind of flattens out for the Buffaloes. I'm believing that the Buffaloes will be above 500 this year.
Above 500, I'm good with. I don't believe they're a contender in the Pac-12. I still think they're probably about the seventh best team at best in the Pac-12. I think there's a top tier in that conference that I really like all those teams. And can I tell you something? How good was the Pac-12 for the first 2 weeks? Undefeated for the first 2 weeks. They may be dead here in about 4 months when it comes to college football once the 2020 season comes to a close, but they're going to have a banger early on, and credit to them for doing so. I'm going to say I'll buy into them enough to where I think they make the bowl game. I don't think they're a Pac-12 contender. I don't think they're going to have a Heisman candidate. I don't think they're reshaping the sport. There's a lot of things I didn't love about what I saw with Deion and them this week, but you got to love what you saw on the field. They were really good on the field, and they beat a TCU team that played in the national championship game last year, although that was a very different team. No more Max Duggan, no more NFL wide receivers on the outside. That defense for TCU was porous, to say at best, on Saturday afternoon in Fort Worth. I've got a lot of questions about Sonny Dykes and that squad moving forward, maybe more than anything out of this. Is my questions about them. So I will go with I'll buy into them enough to where I think they make a bowl game in year one, and I'm not sure I'd have said that a week ago. So I'll buy into them enough to where I think they do make a bowl game, but maybe nothing more than that. Second down, Zach, are you worried about Ohio State after having trouble moving the ball against Indiana, although they did end up winning the game 23-3? Are you worried about the Buckeyes, though, as they are still trying to find their quarterback post-C.J. Stroud?
No, when Ohio State plays Indiana in football, I don't think there's really any ever pressing issue there. I don't think they're too worried about Indiana. I don't think they wanted to show too much with a couple of big games coming up. I'm not too worried about Ohio State football quite yet.
Corey?
Yeah, if it was at home, I would probably be a little bit more concerned. It happened on the road. You can work those kinks out, and I think they should still be a force there in the Big Ten.
I'm not going to say I doubt them or worried about them yet. I am sort of intrigued by the fact that Marvin Harrison Jr. was in witness protection Saturday. They couldn't find Marvin Harrison Jr. I don't care who your quarterback is. I don't care if it's Kyle McCord. I don't care if it's Devin Brown wearing the number 33. I don't care who it is. I don't care if it's Ryan Day out there at age 40 playing quarterback. Find number 18. Get 18 the ball as many times as humanly possible. I don't care what the play call is. Get him the ball. You're playing Indiana. They can't cover him. Go get him the ball. They didn't do that on Saturday. I'm a little bit intrigued by that fact. But I'm still buying in Ohio
State. I see that passion for Buckeyes football in your eyes.
Yeah, it's not.
I see it. He's about as red as Washington's burgundy. So.
Yeah, I wouldn't go that far. Ohio State, though, does get the win. I'll be interested to see what they do going forward with the QB position. Because remember, Notre Dame on the road is coming up in just a couple of weeks. Third down, Corey, ACC question here. Are you buying Florida State more after week one, or are you selling Clemson more?
I am selling Clemson more. The arrogance of Dabo Swinney, and then for them to lay that egg against Duke. Well, Duke came out there charged up and ready to go, but in the second half, they were ready to go more than anything. It was a close game at first, but they couldn't really move the ball. And it's Duke. It's Duke. I mean, they're not really – for football, they put together some good teams. But they're not anything that, the ninth-ranked team in the nation should be getting getting powder smacked by. And that's what happened. They got the taste knocked out of their mouth.
Corey is doubting and selling Clemson. Zach, which side are you on in this with the ACC?
I am, too. That should have been a game that Clemson goes in and asserts their dominance and says, hey, we're back. It's going to be our year, and here we are. But they didn't do that. Duke, gets the win, and I don't think Duke's going to be any sort of power. So Dabo's behind the eight ball early here this season, and I think he's got a tough hill to climb this year.
There can be a couple of truths to each question. I think Clemson has to figure out something with their offense where they brought in the new offensive coordinator and Garrett Riley from TCU, and Dabo's got to let him run his offense with Cade Klubnik. And that wasn't the offense we saw on Monday night. And number two is Dabo has to find a way to get into the transfer portal. He hates the transfer portal. He doesn't believe in it. He's blah, blah, blah. He's got to find either way to work in the transfer portal or recruit better because they're not recruiting at the same level they were. Their wide receivers are nowhere near what they were a few years ago when it was an absolute litany of NFL guys. Their offensive line has never been great, and they've got to find out a way to get those two things going if they want their QB to be special like they had there with Deshaun Watson and Trevor Lawrence. I'm not saying Cade Klubnik can be that, but he can be very good, and it didn't look that way on Monday night. But remember something here. They still did not punt the ball in the second half. I still think when I left to watch the game, I thought Clemson's the better team here, but it's the old dumb loses more than smart wins. They can't find a way to put the field goal through there. They had a field goal blocked. They shanked another one that was inside the 10-yard line. They fumbled the ball three times, clubbed me for two interceptions, one of them off the chest of one of his receivers in the second half. It wasn't like Duke played great either. I'm not saying that at all, but Clemson rushed for 200 and passed for 200 yards. First time in school history they ever lost a game that way. They were previously 108-0 when they'd done that. They lost Monday night. I'm going to buy Florida State more here. I liked him win the ACC before Monday night. Before Sunday night. I'm kind of, after Sunday night, I don't want to jump to any overreactions. I'm kind of wondering why I didn't pick him put in the college football playoff after what I saw Sunday night in the second half. I really like that football team that Mike Norvell has. But remember, they have to come to Clemson in a few weeks, and I'm not giving up on the Tigers quite yet. Fourth down, Zach. Which SEC East team has more questions coming out of week one losses? Florida following the loss at Utah, or South Carolina following the loss in Charlotte to North Carolina?
I think Florida, Utah is going to be good in what's left of the pack, whatever. But South Carolina, that was kind of – they were kind of behind the eight ball anyway. UNC's picked, relatively high this year, and I think a lot of people suspected that South Carolina would go in and lose that one. But Florida – there were people high on Florida going across country and getting the win. I think Florida has some questions to answer here in the next couple of weeks.
Corey, Gators or Gamecocks?
I got to go with...
Who has more questions?
Yeah, I got to go with South Carolina. I got to go because Spencer Rattler was sacked eight times.
Eight or nine times,
yeah. And it was just... like, I mean, they were close in the red zone, and they just... yeah. Didn't give them anything. The Utah game, Florida, that's traveling. It's on a Thursday. Higher atmosphere. I understand that. That's an anomaly game. And to be quite honest with you, it really wasn't that big of a blowout. I mean, it was 24-11. Yeah. But, that score here nor there. And that was kind of getting back at y'all for last year. I think Shane Beamer and the boys, they've got a lot of maybe kind of stay off the social media and making all these videos all the time and probably getting back to the brand of ball.
And I'm going to go South Carolina as well. I picked Florida to win that game, but it was because the backup QB was in for Utah. And give credit to their guy for playing well. I didn't think Florida was going to be great anyways. They ain't going to make a bowl game, but nothing really more. South Carolina has question marks coming out of week one. Spencer Rattler was beat up. He didn't play bad. I thought he played for what he had to deal with out there. I thought he played fairly well against North Carolina. That offensive line was horrid. And remember, they lost some guys to the transfer portal. After all that nice run at the end of the year with wins over Tennessee, South Carolina, they had their tight end playing for Florida State on Sunday night from last year. He went to go play for the Seminoles. Shane Beamer's got to retool that team there coming out of week one, and I thought he made a terrible hire at offensive coordinator and hiring Dow Loggins, who's just absolutely bad. He had Marcus Satterfield leave to go to Nebraska, the former ETSU quarterback, and Marcus wasn't great. But he replaced him with Dow Loggins when he could have done better than that. And I didn't quite get that move. And it showed out, I thought, on Saturday night as well. I've got some questions about South Carolina. Supposed to be that next team, maybe behind Georgia and Tennessee. Maybe they beat Tennessee again this year like they did last year. I didn't see that on Saturday night in Charlotte. All right, College Football Eliminator guys. Corey, your team is Alabama, USC, LSU, Michigan. Myself, Georgia, Notre Dame, Penn State, Texas. Zach, Ohio State, Florida State, Clemson, and Washington. Corey, you and me didn't have anybody lose last week. Are you going to make any changes? Oh, you did?
Yeah, Florida State beat my boys. But you know what? Florida State pet.
Still week one. Still week one. Yeah. Don't fall off the wagon just yet. Yep. I'm not going to make any changes. Everybody's doing fine with me. We'll see how Texas looks after this week and maybe even Notre Dame as well as they had to Raleigh. Zach, though, you had Clemson lose to Duke. You said you're selling them. Are you selling them from the Eliminator?
I sure am. Get rid of Clemson. Let's go Utes. Give me Utah.
That'd be Utah. He's got an interesting matchup at Baylor. He's come off the loss to Texas State. And also Baylor will have a backup quarterback as their QB messed up his MCL in the loss to Texas State there this past Saturday. Utah for Zach. That means our teams now are Alabama, USC, LSU, Michigan. Corey, you want Clemson? I have to ask the questions, the rules.
No.
And then I've got Georgia, Notre Dame, Penn State, Texas. Zach, Ohio State, Florida State, Utah, and Washington. Any more moves for you, Mr. Helton?
I'm good there.
All right, that's our team for the Eliminator. Coming up, it's time for our NFL predictions. We're going to run through some quick games in week one. We're going to give you a Super Bowl pick, an MVP pick. Are we buying Aaron Rodgers and the Jets? And also, it's time to hand out our Terry Kilgore Good Delegate Leadership Award of the Week. And when we continue, Pigskin Picks on 93.5 WAXM.
Each morning I arrive while the world still sleeps, slicing fresh cuts of certified Angus beef.
Yeah, that's my food, City Butcher. I need your advice.
How about a gourmet burger with a little spice?
I'm hosting a cookout, and it has to sizzle.
Try ribeyes with balsamic glaze, but just a drizzle.
Nobody does food like Food City.
Delegate Terry Kilgore proudly serving Virginia's 1st District in the House of Delegates. Terry Kilgore is a loyal and proud supporter of Southwest Virginia schools, as well as the revitalization of our area that we love to call home. Visit DelegateKilgore.com to learn more about Delegate Terry Kilgore.
From boats and motorcycles to campers and so much more, great adventures are just a click away with RV loans from Eastman Credit Union. Plus, enjoy no payments for 90 days.
ECU helped us find the RV loan that we needed.
We chose ECU for our RV loan because they have such great rates. We think everybody should choose ECU.
Live your dream now. Apply today at ecu.org/fun. Eastman Credit Union.
We said it earlier when we played some Jimmy Buffett in the last segment with a rest in peace to him. We have a rest in peace as well out there to the lead singer of Smash Mouth, Steve Harwell, who passed away earlier this week. Zach, this is another one of your choices, Then the Morning Comes. You picked as their top song, not All Star, not I'm a Believer, not Walking in the Sun. What was the one you threw out there as well, Corey? Didn't you throw out one?
No, I didn't throw out one.
I thought you did. I'm sorry.
Sometimes you got to dig deep. You can't judge an artist by their hits. You got to dig a little deeper. All Star had some great albums and made a lot of money with pairing with the Shrek movies. Rest in peace, Steve. I forgot about that song until you asked me earlier. I hadn't heard that, I think, since like the early 2000s. So thank you for that.
Yeah, and if you're an Impractical Jokers fan on True TV, Steve had been a kind of integral part into a couple of their storylines as well. And so no longer Steve with them, as he passed away earlier this week after some battles with liver cancer or liver failure there for him. All right, guys, it's time to hand out our Terry Kickler Leadership Award for the weekend. Who else can we go to when you're talking about the good delegate than go to Scott County? And where else can you go but to a man whose last name is Kilgore? How about Colton Kilgore, the running back for Twin Springs? Had a good game last week. He was our runner-up last week.
Mm-hmm.
We'll tell you. We'll go behind the closed door. He was our runner-up last week. We gave it to Darren Goller, the quarterback from Thomas Walker. But Colton wins it this week. 10 rushes, 200 yards, 3 touchdowns. He added in a receiving score as well in Twin Springs' win over Uneka in Northeast Tennessee last week. Congratulations to our Week 2 winner of the Terry Kilgore Good Delegate Award for the Leadership Award for the week, Colton Kilgore from Twin Springs. So congratulations there, Colton, and to Twin Springs, who now sit 2-0 here for the early portion of the year. All right, fellas, let's go quick here on the NFL time. We got to pick up some time so we can get to those picks here coming up in just a few moments of Heather Williams and also our interviews of Todd Tiller and Gary Collier, the head coach at Honaker and Rye Cove, coming up in the next segment. Let's start off here with a couple of quick questions on the NFL before we go quick and pick a few games this week. I'll start off with you, Corey. It's the question of the offseason. Are you buying the Jets with Aaron Rodgers?
Absolutely not. I didn't buy the Jets with Brett Favre so many years ago, and it just seems so inauthentic with them. If you watch some of the Hard Knocks, it's just like Aaron Rodgers is this godlike figure. And, I mean, yeah, on the field probably, but it's just like we didn't know how to football until – Lord Aaron came on the shores of the Manhattan and came to save us. He arrived at Ellis Island and Lady Liberty just shined upon us, and we don't know what's going on. We don't know how to football here. I'm selling the Jets. I think they'll be they might get to the playoffs. They might be a wild card, but yeah, I'm selling that and the mushrooms.
You're selling the fact that there are Super Bowl contenders. What you're telling me?
Yes.
But you're buying that you can make the playoffs?
Maybe.
Okay.
Maybe.
Zach, are you buying the Jets?
Listen, Corey's just mad that the copper fit stuff he bought because of Brett Favre isn't working quite right for his,
hey now.
For his ankles and knees. But let me tell you something. I am buying the Jets. I think Aaron Rodgers has learned from Brett Favre to not send any explicit material via his phone. And I think everything is going to be bright and sunshiny in New York. I think Rodgers has a resurgence here. And I think the Jets are going to have a good year. I think they get a wild card spot. I think the Bills are still going to win the division. But I think they make some noise in the AFC.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm not saying they're going to win the Super Bowl, but I think they make the playoffs. I'm buying into them at that level. You know my feelings about number 8. I used to call him number 12. Now I have to call him number 8. He's going back to the old California days. I don't think there will be any Jen Sturger being involved here for Aaron Rodgers. I'm going to go with Aaron Rodgers. I'm going to buy in the Jets. They're going to make the playoffs and make Mike Greenberg a happy man.
Here's the real question. Are the Green Bay Packers the AAA team for the New York Jets?
It feels like
I think so, yeah.
It feels like Favre, Rodgers. They don't have Lazard now, too.
Yeah.
They have Lazard. They have Cobb.
Well, the Packers usually send these guys when they're out to pasture.
Yeah.
So does that mean Aaron Rodgers is going to wind up in Minnesota next year?
Oh, I don't know.
Kirk Cousins' contract, I think,
agree.
Is up.
I would say, though, that the one that makes a little bit more sense for Favre had the rivalry with the Vikings because they had actually gotten good there. Wouldn't it make more sense for Rodgers if we're playing that game to end up a Bear?
I own you, literally.
I'm just saying. Maybe just keep an eye on that there. You never know if Justin Fields, I don't think he's going to be a Bear, but just run out there. All right, guys, give me a quick one here. Who wins the MVP in 2023, Zach?
Josh Allen.
Ooh, Josh Allen, the Bills for Zach. Corey?
Joey B.
Joe Burrow, the Bengals?
Mm-hmm.
That's what I had written down, too. I don't like when we go to the same pick, but I already had it written down. It's in Sharpie. Yeah. I'm going to go Joe Burrow, too. Missing week – it looks like he's going to play week one, but it's obviously missed some time there with the injury he suffered in training camp. It looks to be okay. All right, Corey, who wins the Super Bowl? Who do they beat before we get some games in week one before we have to pick up the pace?
Let's go with Cincinnati, and I've got Cincinnati. And, geez, gosh, I'm going to go against my logic here. I think it'll be somebody on the NFC. I don't want to say who it is because they've got they just make me disgusted.
You talking about the Eagles?
No.
You talking about the Cowboys?
Ooh.
No.
The 49ers.
Really?
The Bengals beat the 49ers.
They do. They make it to the Super Bowl for that terrible head coach they have. They make it in spite of him, you say,
the
huh?
NFC. Yeah, they make it in spite of that inept coach who can't develop a young quarterback.
We already had that in the 80s.
Yeah, we did. Twice, right?
Twice, yeah. We had it the third time.
Will John Candy be at this game? I don't think so.
that's mean spirit. That's
you
mean
remember
spirit.
That NFL films, though? Montana that's, points over the John Candy. I love that.
It's like Aaron Rodgers saying, that's the voice of God. That's the voice of God.
Yeah,
see there.
Yeah. Zach? Oh, who do you have winning?
The Bengals.
I can't buy into the 49ers quite yet. I'm going to go Bills-Eagles, and Bills are going to win it.
Oh, riding with the Bills. A lot of people hopping off the Bills wagon this year. Not Zach Helton. He's going with Allen to win the MVP, then win the Super Bowl. I'm not going to try to overthink this. Give me the Chiefs out of the AFC. Chiefs to win it all. Who else am I going to pick? Niners. Come on now.
It feels like, but you know what?
Rematch from a few years ago.
Think about this. Remember when the AFC was top heavy? Everybody was like, it's going to be the Bills and the Chiefs.
Yeah.
And then here comes Joe Burrow and the Cincinnati Bengals.
Oh, I like that pick.
No. I'm not disagreeing with you. But I'm thinking, is there somebody in the NFC that can be like, oh, here they come. Here they come.
I like Dallas's roster.
That, I mean, you know, when Trey Lance is starting for him, we'll see how that roster fills out.
I couldn't go with Dallas. I'm with you.
I couldn't go with I don't trust him.
I'm picking the Chiefs to win the Super Bowl, and it's not going to be because San Francisco's head coach. All right, let's go to week one here, guys. Let's go quick. Six games for us. Let's go quick on these. Let's start off with you, Corey. You have the Bengals winning the Super Bowl. They travel to the Browns in week one. Do they pick up win number one?
Joe Burrow massages the Browns in that one. Give me the Bengals.
Zach, a couple of rivals for your Steelers here. Who wins?
Yeah, I'm going to go Bengals on the road.
Give me Cleveland and a little bit of an upset there. Bengals have a good year, but give me the Browns in week one plus the two and a hook. Nobody's keeping an eye on Watson, those guys. Just saying. 49ers and the Steelers. Zach, can your guys pick up a nice win in week one?
Yeah, these are two teams I grew up loving. I was a big Niners fan as a kid. Man, this is a tough pick for me. I think the East Coast 1 o'clock is going to hurt the Niners. I think Steelers squeak it out.
Corey,
two and a hook for the 49ers?
Two and a hook.
Bosa's going to be back, too? Oh, gosh. Ooh, this is the creme de la creme. Give me San Francisco. I don't care if it's 1 o'clock.
Give me Pittsburgh at home. I like the 49ers, too, but not in week one. Give me Pittsburgh. Kenny Pickett, everybody loves him. I'll hop on. Let's see what happens. Dolphins, Chargers, 425 CBS. Tua versus Herbert. Who should have been that second QB taken in the draft in 2020, Corey? Who wins in week one?
I like the Dolphins better long-term, but give me the Chargers at home.
All right, Zach.
I think the Dolphins are going to hit a wall this year. I'm going to go Chargers at home.
I like both of these teams. Somebody has to miss the playoffs, so I'm not sure who's going to be in the AFC because, boy, do I like everybody. I'm going to go Chargers at home. Though. I'm going to ride a few guys there with Herbert and Staley. Eagles at Patriots, 425 CBS. Zach, they finally picked up a backup QB for Mac Jones. It's Matt Corral, the former Ole Miss Rebel. Who wins this one, though, in Foxborough?
Yeah, too much SEC flavor in this one. I'm going to go Eagles on the road.
They lost them to the Super Bowl, Corey. How about a Super Bowl hangover?
According to the Daily Mail, Bill Belichick has broken up with his girlfriend.
Oh, I didn't know that. And
the, yeah, and the New England.
Miss Nantucket?
Yeah. They are on edge. The front office for the Patriots are on edge because maybe she might spill some stuff on social media. I think that's a distraction for the Patriots, although I despise that runt of a head coach with the Philadelphia football team. I will take them against my better with my better judgment.
You know what a wise poet once said?
Tell me.
Love is a battlefield.
I read that somewhere. I heard it. I'm going to ride off the battlefield, though. Give me the Patriots at home. Let's go New England.
Ooh.
Why not? It's week one. You know who I trust more than anybody else? The guy in the weird hoodie, Bill Belichick. Cowboys, Giants, Sunday Night Football. Corey, you love these teams. Who do you like?
I don't like any of them. Daniel Jones, 1-11 in primetime. Dak Prescott, 10-0 against the Dallas Cowboys. You know what? I won't even be home. So I don't. It doesn't really matter who I pick in this game. I don't have to watch it because, and my wife, you know, whatever, but I'll do it for her.
Maybe listen to it on the radio on the way back?
I will take her Dallas Cowboys.
Dallas for Corey, trying to make a happy wife a happy life. Zach, where are you at?
I'm glad my wife doesn't care about football. I can pick anybody I want. I really don't like either one of these teams. But I think when the bright lights are on, Dak shows out. I think Dak gets the win, Cowboys.
I'm going to go Dallas on the road as well. Bills, Jets, Monday Night Football. Zach, you're all in on the Bills. How about week one?
I'm going to go Bills. I think the big story of Aaron Rodgers will have to wait until week two.
Corey, you didn't buy the Jets fully early on. How about this week on Monday night for his debut for Rodgers?
Yeah, I think the Bills will upend them in the Battle of New York.
Aaron Rodgers, big game, Monday Night Football, Joe and Troy. Boy, that sounds like he's been having those guys on his broadcast for his entire career. I'll go with Joe and Troy and Aaron Rodgers. Give me the Jets at home. I'll take them plus the two and the hook at MetLife Stadium. Big games at MetLife, Sunday and Monday night. They get both games, Giants and Jets in prime time in week one. All right, coming up, Todd Tiller and Gary Collier, the head coaches of Honecker and Wright Cove, join us to preview their big game in Region 1D, the Tigers and the Eagles. That's coming up next, right here on Pigskin Picks on 93.5 WAXM.
Each morning I arrive while the world still sleeps, slicing fresh cuts of certified Angus beef.
Yeah, that's my food, City Butcher. I need your advice.
How about a gourmet burger with a little spice?
I'm hosting a cookout, and it has to sizzle.
Try ribeyes with balsamic glaze, but just a drizzle.
Nobody does food like Food City.
Delegate Terry Kilgore proudly serving Virginia's 1st District in the House of Delegates. Terry Kilgore is a loyal and proud supporter of Southwest Virginia schools, as well as the revitalization of our area that we love to call home. Visit DelegateKilgore.com to learn more about Delegate Terry Kilgore.
From boats and motorcycles to campers and so much more, great adventures are just a click away with RV loans from Eastman Credit Union. Plus, enjoy no payments for 90 days.
ECU helped us find the RV loan that we needed.
We chose ECU for our RV loan because they have such great rates. We think everybody should choose ECU.
Live your dream now. Apply today at ecu.org/fun. Eastman Credit Union.
So pack up your car, put a hand in your heart, say whatever you feel, be wherever you are.
We're on 93.5 WAXM. Jacob Townsend here with you tonight as we get you set for a big matchup in Region 1D between Honecker and Wright Cove. Corey Sanchez and Zach Helton will join us here in just a few moments when we pick some games with Heather Williams of News Channel 5 WCYB as our Eastman Credit Union guest picker tonight. But Honecker travels to take on Wright Cove on Friday night in a matchup between two of the top teams in Region 1D. Two teams sitting there at 2-0 to begin the season, and two of the top teams going into the year who should be competing for a Region 1D title at the end of the year. Honeckers ran through their first two opponents, Lebanon 52-7 and Castlewood last week 60-8, while Wright Cove's not give up a point this year. They didn't give up a point in their exhibition game against Unique out of Tennessee. They didn't give up a point in two Jamboree games at J.I. Burton against Patrick Henry and Hurley. And they haven't given up a point in weeks one and two against Hancock County out of Tennessee or Northwood last week, who they beat 42-0. So this should be a real clash of styles here between the high-flying offense of the Tigers and a really stout defense for the early portion of the year for the Eagles. Let's get this preview started with the head coach of the Honecker Tigers, talking about his team, who sits at 2-0 and heading on the road to the Eagles Nest this Friday night. The head coach of the Honecker Tigers, Todd Tiller. Todd, we certainly had you on a ton over the past few years when you're at Ridgeview. Always happy to have you still on, though, and now as the head coach of the Tigers. And we call ourselves the Southwest Virginia Football Show. And if we're the Southwest Virginia Football Show, we got to talk about the best games in the area. And there's no doubt you all have the best game, in my opinion, in week three on the road at Wright Cove. But let's start off talking about how the first 2 weeks have went for you all. 52-7 win on the opening Thursday night of the season over Lebanon. And then this past week, 60-8 over Castlewood, beating up on your Russell County opponents to begin the year for you all. What has been working so well offensively? We'll get to defensively here in just a moment. Let's start off with the offensive side, because that's where the real big notice is being taken with 52 and 60 on the scoreboards the last couple of weeks. What's worked so well offensively for weeks one and two?
You know, coming in, Peyton Music, our quarterback, you know, I've got to say, you know, he has been finding his reads and reading the defense and making the right throws, and
done an excellent job of that. And then our skill guys, you know, from Parker Bandy to Avery Music to Aiden Lowe to Malachi Lowe, those guys have stepped up and executed the game plan and the offense, you know, about as good as you can have there at the beginning, especially, you know, this past Friday, Peyton was 10 for 10 for 173 yards, you know, in a little over a quarter and a half of play, you know. So it was excellent. And like I said, the week before, you know, he had a big game there for the couple of quarters there that he played. You know, we were up 52-0 at halftime. So, you know, second half, we kind of just let some other kids get in and, you know, save him for later down the line too. So it's been really good. And like I said, the line also, you know, can't do anything without them up front, and they've done a great job and kept the pocket clean and opened some holes for the running backs there too. So it's been a joint effort there.
And it's been an impressive run for you all on the defensive side as well. As we said, 7 points to Lebanon, 8 points to Castlewood this past week. Offense has been the thing that everybody wanted to talk about in the preseason because everybody saw the talent that was returning for you all, and they know what kind of offense that you're used to running and people are used to seeing from you in your time as a head coach at previous spots and also last year at Honaker. But the defense has been very stout as well for the first 2 weeks. What's been the difference for them?
Yeah, you know, that was last year kind of our defense was – you know, hadn't came as far along as the offense had. Now this year we seem to be making the correct alignments and assignments and doing our job on defense, and it's kind of getting a lot of hats to the ball. And, you know, we've got a very athletic and fast defense, and they play physical, and that's been the catalyst to that. You know, we've kind of got up in the face of the offenses and you know, been able to make gang tackles and do the things on that side of the ball to get the ball back for the offense. So, like I said, yeah, it's they've stepped it up, and hopefully it'll continue.
We were joking before we started recording, Todd, that by the scoreboard at least, and by somebody who hasn't got a chance to see you all yet, you sit back here and you go, what is there to critique? What's there to improve on for 2 weeks with the way you all played against Lebanon and Castlewood? From your opinion as the coach, what is it that your team needs to keep getting better at? Because obviously you all have greater goals than just going 2-0 for the first 2 weeks of the season. You've got goals in the Hokie-Higgy, goals in Region 1D, and goals beyond in the postseason as well. What is it that this team needs to improve on from what you've seen for weeks 1 and 2?
You know, focus throughout the game. You know, fortunately, we've had the past two games, we've had 52 and 53 points at halftime, so we really haven't had to play a complete game yet. So that's one thing, you know, we got to keep focused with the kids and remind them that, you know, hey, these games are 4 quarters long, and, you know, just because we've had a couple of games that didn't go that way, we can't lose focus. And, you know, we just got to concentrate and think about the day and the week, not down the line, and keep our focus there on the here and now right now and do those little things, and everything else will come together.
Todd Taylor, the head coach of the Honaker Tigers, joining us here on Pigskin Picks on 93.5 WAXN. They take on Rycove this week in a battle of 2-0s in Region 1D. And Rycove's impressive. They were impressive last year, Todd, when they sort of hopped up out on the scene out of nowhere for Gary Collier in year one, and they won a share of the Cumberland District, hosted a first-round playoff game in the Region 1D playoffs, and they returned almost everybody this year, and they're off to a great start where they haven't given up a point yet. I saw them in their jamboree at J.I. Burton. They didn't give a point that night either, and they haven't given up a point for the first 2 weeks. What have you seen with Rycove so far when you get set for Friday night?
You know, they're well coached, you know, especially on the defensive side. You know, B.I. Salyers does a great job there. And, you know, you can tell that they play great assignment football, and they are aligned correctly and everything. And they're physical, and they get off the ball, and they get a lot of hats for the football on the defensive side. And, you know, offensive side the same way. They're a physical team, and said they're gritty and, like I said, well coached. And, you know, I like the big challenge as it is here. You know, we're coming in scoring a lot of points, and their defense is holding people to no points. So, you know, it'll be a great battle there Friday night. So
it should be. It's got that clash you talk about there, the high-flying offense against the shutdown defense. What's going to be the keys for you all on Friday night?
I still think it's up front, you know, the offensive and defensive lines. You know, I think that is who's the most physical team at the line of scrimmage and at the point of attack, that team's going to win. You know, we're able to, you know, keep the pocket clean for Peyton to make the right reads and get the ball out. I feel we'll have success in the passing game. And, you know, I also feel like, you know, if we're physical at the line of scrimmage, we'll be able to run the ball when we want. And, you know, control the game that way, too, if we need to. And defensively, like I said, I feel that, you know, if our D-line can be physical with their offensive line, then we can try to limit some of their plays there. You know, I think that's where the game's going to be won or lost.
Todd Tiller, the head coach of the Honeaker Tigers, joining us here on Pigskin Picks on 93.5 WAXM. They take a road trip to Rye Cove in the Eagle's Nest on Friday night for the battle between two 2-0 teams in Region 1D against Gary Collier and the Eagles. As Honeakers ran through the first couple of games of the season, they get through this one. Then they start a little bit of hokey-hokey play with a home game against Holston the following week. Todd, it's always great to talk to you. We miss having you here in our little neck of the woods in just our little minute area of where we are based at here. But we are a Southwest Virginia football show, and so we're excited about this big game coming up here on Friday night. I know when we talked, when you took the job at Honeaker, we said, I hope we didn't stop talking to each other on the show. And I said, if you win, we'd love to have you on. You're winning big games. It's great to have you. And I don't think it's going to stop here. Everybody's really excited about what this season holds for you all. Good luck and safe travels to Rico Friday night. Always, thanks for your time.
Thank you, Jack. I appreciate it. And like I said, I love being on the show. And anytime you need me, I'll make a way to be there, though. That's definitely for certain. And yeah, I love that y'all cover Southwest Virginia so well there, and we appreciate it. And like I said, yeah, we got things can go right. It could be special this year, so for having me.
That was head coach of the Honeaker Tigers, Todd Tiller, joining us here on Pigskin Picks on 93.5 WAXM. As the Tigers make the big road trip down to Rye Cove in Scott County this Friday night to take on the 2-0 Eagles, as Gary Collier's squad, what a story they continue to be. Just 2 years ago, they couldn't finish the season. Now we're talking about them playing maybe the biggest game in Southwest Virginia in week three of year two for Gary Collier. After winning a share of the Cumberland District a year ago, they haven't given up a point this year. They got one of the best offenses, if not the best offense in Southwest Virginia, coming to town on Friday night. Let's talk to the head coach of the Eagles, Gary Collier. Well, your team certainly is working hard, Coach. Shutouts in the first 2 weeks of the year, and we were talking before recording, haven't given up a point really all year. I saw you all at the Jamboree at J.I. Burton. You shut out Patrick Henry that night. You shut out Hurley in the other matchup. You shut out Yoneka in another scrimmage in the preseason as well. Your defense has been stout for the first couple of weeks of the regular season and throughout the preseason as well. What's been the difference for them?
Well, just hard work we're putting in, and a year of maturity with our young guys we had last year. We're still making mistakes. That's the thing about it. We haven't given up a point, but we're still making some mistakes and have room for improvement. But it's just hard work. And Coach Sayers, our defensive coordinator, B.I., is doing a fantastic job. All our coaches are, but he's really got them focused and going in the right direction.
And your offense is playing well as well. 48 points on the board against Hancock County, 42 on the board against Northwood. Obviously, Landon Lane's a name that people remember from 2022. They're rolling quite nicely here for the early portion of the year. What's setting them apart?
Well, again, another year of maturity up front. Our front line's working hard. They're stronger. That's a big thing. We've been in the weight room in a year's time, and we've gotten stronger there, more confident. Landon's playing well. Peyton Darnell being healthy is a big improvement. We've got a couple of key injuries that we're just coming back from, and I think we're going to be pretty healthy on Friday. So just being healthy and working hard and getting stronger, that's our key.
Gary Collier, the head coach of the Rye Cove Eagles, joining us here on Pigskin Picks on 93.5 WAXM. And Coach, health's going to be a big key for you all on Friday night, because Honeaker is a strong team as well. They're throwing points all over the board, but their defense kind of runs under the radar, but they haven't given up more than a touchdown throughout the season for the first 2 weeks. 7 points against Lebanon, 8 against Castlewood as well. We'll start off with the offensive side. When you see Honeaker on film, what do you see that your defense is going to have a tough test against on Friday night against the Tigers?
Well, you got a team that don't huddle, and they run that hurry up. So that, you know, that's something we've been working on this week, getting what we want to get called in and getting executed and lined up in the right direction. That's where our first priority is, and getting lined up right. You know, they're no huddle, and they're really good at what they do. They throw it all over the place, can run it too. The quarterback can scramble. The running back's really good. Great receivers, so they throw it all over the place. So we got to really work on the coverage, got to work on some pressure on the quarterback and wrapping up and tackling when these guys start scrambling around. So a real big test for us. We can talk all day long about not giving up points, but it's Honaker, and they're scoring some, and they're scoring often.
Yeah, it's sort of the old maybe some bend but don't break out of you all. But you bring up the fact of the matter is that they don't huddle, and that isn't a thing that you don't see quite often here in this area in high school football. How do you try to get your team ready during the week of practice with you and your defensive coordinator, as you brought up earlier, B.I. Salyers, making sure your team is ready, and whether that's the conditioning part of it there with the pace of play that Honaker will play on Friday night. But what's the main key for you all in practice to try to get ready for that new set of circumstances that Honaker will bring to you all from the offensive end with the hurry-up and no-huddle style of offense?
Well, we just got to do about the same thing on defense. We got to hurry up and get our signals from the sidelines and get our assignments, get lined up correctly, and then, you know, we go from there. They do what they do well, and we just got to get the assignments from the sidelines and get what our calls in and what we're trying to do defensively and just as quick. The good thing about some of the things we got, we do have some depth this year, and if they'll give us a little bit of time, we'll be able to rotate some people in because that's pretty tough on them front four when we're no huddle and they're scrambling around and we're trying to, you know, jump back up and run. So we do have some depth where we can get some people in there and hopefully get some subs.
And from the opposite side of it, your offense, you know, as you said, Honaker's more than likely going to be able to put some points on the board, although you all have been pitching the shutouts of recent. That means your offense is also going to have to answer from time to time. What do you see from Honaker on the defensive side where they've only given up 7 points to Lebanon in week one, 8 points to Castlewood last week? What do you see with them on the defensive side of the ball when you look at the film of the Tigers?
Well, first thing that stands out is how big they are up front. They got some good-sized kids who play well and play hard, and then they're surrounded by a bunch of athletes. Their defensive backs, their linebackers, they move around, they move laterally real well, they're quick. So, you know, we just got to do what we do and do what we do best and maybe find a little weakness on their defense and try to attack it. But very athletic and very good-sized and very well-coached, of course.
Head coach of the Ryko Eagles, Yeri Carr, joining us here on Pigskin Picks on 93.5 WXM as they play host to the Honaker Tigers on Friday night in the biggest game in Southwest Virginia here in Week 3. Both teams sitting at 2-0. It may not be a district game, but it is certainly going to be a bigger game when it comes to the region part of it where people start looking at this game. We get to the postseason. Nobody wants to get that far ahead of themselves. This is going to be a game that people will look back on for what happens in Week 3. Do you all talk about the fact of, Coach, about how big this matchup is in the preseason to at least the people on the outside look again when the prognostications are made for a preseason of where teams may be sitting at the top of Region 1D and the fact of that a lot of people like you two as either the top two or the top two or three teams in the region going into the year? Do you bring that up? Do you make sure that your team whether understands that or that they're not even thinking about that? Do you bring that up at all with your team going into this game?
Well, going into the game, we talk about it a little bit. You know, we're real big on week to week, and we didn't start talking about Honaker until this week, of course, because of our past 2 weeks. But, yeah, everybody knows that our competition this week is stellar, and they're good. They're 2-0, putting a lot of points, and they are one of the top teams in the region, and we know that, but we don't downplay who we can be, too. You know, we play well. We're right there at the top of the region, too, when we're playing well and doing the things mistake-free. So, yeah, they know who we're facing. They know that they're a good team. But, you know, this is who we want to be. We want to, you know, we're going to gauge ourselves where we're at. And then, you know, later down the road, you know, we may face each other again. We sure hope so. And we'll just see how this folds out. But, yeah, they know we're playing a good team this week, and we'll be ready to play on Friday.
Yeri Carr, the head coach of the Ryko Eagles, joining us here on Pigskin Picks on 93.5 WXM. Once again, they're hosting Honaker on Friday night in the clash of the 2-0 teams in Region 1D. Coach, as always, thanks so much for your time. Good luck to you against the Honaker Tigers on Friday night, and we'll certainly be talking to you again soon as this season continues to roll on because it's quickly already got us to Week 3 and the early portion of September, and it's going to keep moving rather quickly for the rest of the year as well. So thanks, as always, for your time.
Okay, thank you, and I appreciate you having us, and We'll go after him. We'll get him on Friday.
That was the head coach of the Ryko Eagles, Gary Collier, joining us here on Pigskin Picks on 93.5 WAXM. Once again, thanks to both coaches, Gary Collier of Ryko and Todd Tiller at Honecker, for joining us here tonight to talk about their big game coming up this Friday at the Eagles' Nest between the Tigers and the Eagles. Both teams sitting at 2-0. Somebody's going to get their first loss, and somebody's moving to 3-0. On Friday night, we'll pick who coming up as we pick some games with our Eastman Credit Union guest picker, Heather Williams from News Channel 5 WCYB and Fox Tri-Cities. Corey and Zach will rejoin us as well as we wrap up a Thursday night edition of Pigskin Picks on 93.5 WAXM.
Each morning I arrive while the world still sleeps, slicing fresh cuts of certified Angus beef.
Yeah, that's my food, City Butcher. I need your advice.
How about a gourmet burger with a little spice?
I'm hosting a cookout and it has to sizzle.
Try ribeyes with balsamic glaze, but just a drizzle.
Nobody does food like Food City.
Delegate Terry Kilgore proudly serving Virginia's 1st District in the House of Delegates. Terry Kilgore is a loyal and proud supporter of Southwest Virginia schools, as well as the revitalization of our area that we love to call home. Visit DelegateKilgore.com to learn more about Delegate Terry Kilgore.
From boats and motorcycles to campers and so much more, great adventures are just a click away with RV loans from Eastman Credit Union. Plus, enjoy no payments for 90 days.
ECU helped us find the RV loan that we needed.
We chose ECU for our RV loan because they have such great rates. We think everybody should choose ECU.
Live your dream now. Apply today at ecu.org/fun. Eastman Credit Union.
Time to pick some games here on Pigskin Picks on 93.5 WAXM. As always, we wrap up a Thursday night here on 93.5 WAXM. Jacob Townsend, Corey Sanchez, Zach Kelton here with you as always. Thanks again to the head coaches, Gary Collier at Rye Cove, and Todd Tiller, the head coach at Honecker, for joining us here tonight. Massive game in Region 1D coming up tomorrow night there between the Eagles and the Honecker Tigers down at Rye Cove. That should be a wonderful matchup for one of those two 2-0 teams and two of the favorites in Region 1D going into this season. But it's now time for our Eastman Credit Union guest pickers, and let's take a look at the standings. Still in first place, our first guy from this year was our defending champion from last year, the legend, Pat Kenny from the Kingsport Times News, now retired. He went 14 out of 19 a couple weeks ago for 73.7%. Then we had Tanner Cook from the Kingsport Times News last week, and all Tanner wanted to talk about is how close he was to winning it last year, a half game out, that if you actually put the last 2 years together, he probably had the best percentage over the last 2 years of everybody, and he came out and laid an egg last week. 16 out of 27, 59.3% there for Tanner.
That's what he gets for whining.
Agreed, sir.
He's a bunch of frauds.
So that's what he called Morristown West. That's what he called Shane Beamer as well. But so we are now heading back to our champions list, and let's go talk to our 2021 guest picker champion. That is Heather Williams from News Channel 5, WCYB, and Fox Tri-Cities. Heather, thanks as always for joining us. Hope you're doing well.
Doing well. I'm back to try to grab my championship back, but I won't be quite as cocky as Tanner was.
Well, the thing is, though, Heather, you have something to be cocky about. You were the first ever champion. Tanner's just been, you know, he's been a bridesmaid his entire life on this show, and boy, this year he may just be like an usher or maybe a wind bearer or something.
Nah, he's like that uncle that's got to be outside the steps of the sanctuary during
so
the wedding.
Waving it.
Hey, let me in here.
Well, we'll see how everybody does here this week. We'll start off our college games. We head to our Food City game picks for this week, and college football heads into week two. Let's start off with those UVA-wise Cavaliers, Corey. They're sitting at 1-0 after a shutout of Union College. They make a road trip, though, to Thomas More. Who you like on Saturday? That's a nooner right here on WAXM.
Fun fact, the mascot for Thomas More with 1-0 is Tommy Moe. Oh. Yeah, there you go right there. But I'm going to call him Tommy No, as the Cavs are going to go and win this one. Give me UVA-wise.
Heather, who do you like with the Cavaliers going on the road up into almost Cincinnati, but not quite?
Yeah, I had a chance to talk with head coach Dane Dameron earlier this week about this game, and this is a team that's making a transition from NAIA to Division II. So we would expect this to be a little bit more of a game than what they had last week against Union College, but I still think that Wise is much improved. They're healthier this year than they've been in probably the last 3 years. All those Greenville kids are showing why they won state championships back in high school, so I'm going with the Cavs.
Zach, who do you like between UVA Wise and Thomas More?
Yeah, another game on UVA Wise's schedule that has me just itching to sit down and watch. The powerhouses are just afoot already. I think it's another big win for UVA Wise, though. I think it's going to be a fruitful road trip for the Highland Cavaliers.
I noticed, Corey, the visor's back for Dane Dameron. Last couple of years, been going for the old ball
and
cap.
And the call sheet, too.
Yeah, went for the old visor.
Yeah, he's the got, call
he,
sheet.
You know what? He's calling the plays. He goes back to the old Spurrier visor. I like
it. I need him to get that there. Andy Reid, like, Huddle House or Waffle House type there play calling menu.
There you go. You know, his wife obviously has some Florida ties. Get the Spurrier's visor back out there as he's calling plays. Makes sense. I'm going to go with UVA Wise as well to move the 2-0 for the win over Thomas More. Emory and Henry travels to Mitchell Stadium to take on Bluefield State. Zach Helton, for the first time in Pigskin Picks history, do you pick Bluefield State?
Put some respect on that name when you speak it out. Yes. We had a freshman quarterback last week. Jakee Hart came out, late decision to start him, and all he did was throw for a school record 5 touchdown passes in a win. Emory and Henry flexed their muscles on Concord last week. They took advantage of some mistakes. I think this one's going to be a nice little battle of two passing attacks, and we'll see which team breaks. But I like Bluefield at home in this one.
Corey, we were all on Concord except for Zach.
Bluefield
last week.
State. And just Henry, move on. Move
you're
on.
Going to go Bluefield
but,
State.
But you know I'll never pick Emory and Henry.
Okay, all right. Going to go with the West Virginia team once
God
again.
God bless you.
Heather, you're welcome. They better not lose either.
There you go. Heather, who do you like in this matchup between the Wasps and Big Blue?
So Bluefield State's kind of been a thorn in the side of Emory and Henry the past couple of years. But I'm gonna go against the grain because if you don't pick different from people sometimes, how do you win? So this one's close enough that I think I'm going to give the nod to Emory.
I'm going to go for Emory Henry as well. Zach, don't hate me, okay? Don't hate me. Still answer my texts, answer my phone calls, please. I need you. I'm losing too many people in my life at this point. But I need you to stick with me.
What do you mean by that?
I don't know. I'm going to go with Emory Henry, though. I'm going to go with Heather on that pick, as I think the Wasps go on the road to get a win at Mitchell Stadium. Carson Newman travels to ETSU. We're going to call this the Carl Torbush Bowl, Heather. Who do you like at William B. Green Jr. Stadium?
Well, if I read this right, they haven't played since 1974.
Yeah, I think you're correct on that, and that's a travesty.
Yeah, so they played once since I've been alive because that was the year I was born. That is a travesty, as close as they are together. ETSU, they're on the struggle bus right now. But I don't think they've fallen far enough down that they're going to lose to a Division II school, so I'm going to go with the Bucks.
And still trying to figure out who will be at that quarterback position for the Bucks on Saturday for George Quarles' squad, as Tyler Rydell got injured against Jacksonville State, and he's listed as questionable for the game against the Eagles. Zach, who wins in Johnson City?
I don't know about travesty, but I think someone named Travis will show up and perform for the Bucks. I don't know which one. There's a couple of Travises on the roster, but I'm going to go ETSU.
ETSU for Zach and Heather. Corey, you've went for a South Atlantic Conference team in UVA-wise. You went against a South Atlantic Conference team in Emory Henry. Let's throw one more at you in Carson Newman. Who do you like?
Hello, friends. This is Jim Nance and the Jim Nance Award-winning coverage. I don't think that
that's
they're going to.
That's mean spirit.
I agree completely.
With that being said, I think ETSU is going to throw that award off the ship, and they're going to wreck the Eagles.
It's more of a sports code, actually, but that's fine. I'm going to go with ETSU at home as well, and to get the first one of the year against
breathe.
Carson Newman for a road trip to Austin Peay. Clarksville is calling their name the following week. Austin Peay comes to Knoxville this Saturday, and then ETSU goes there the next week. A lot of allegiances for me. I don't know what that word was that I just made up there a moment ago. Allegiances for me going against Austin Peay the next couple of weeks there against the Governors. But we'll get to that next week because we're not going to pick the Tennessee game this week. But I'll go ETSU, obviously going to stick with the alma mater. What's on my shirt, Corey? It's the Big E. All right, let's head into the Commonwealth. James Madison travels to Virginia. Noon, ESPN, Corey. James Madison won last week. Virginia got hammered by Tennessee, but they kept it close in the first half, close enough, before getting rolled in the second half into Music City. How does Tony Elliott and the Cavaliers do this time around?
They're going to go 0-2.
That paycheck doesn't mean anything to you, huh? Okay. Heather, who
didn't
do you like?
Didn't you either.
You don't have to tell me, pal. Heather, who do you like between the team that Jarvis Heron covers now and the Cavaliers?
Yeah, he walked into a pretty good situation there, didn't he, with James Madison. They're getting votes in the AP Top 25. I think this team is for real. They dominated in FCS. They're going to dominate in FBS, but they're still a pretty good team. I'm also going with James Madison.
Zach, I think I know where you're leaning on this one.
You know, if you look back, Jim Madison and, Tommy Jefferson, they were both great leaders, mm-hmm. and I feel like they're going to be somewhere posted up having a beverage watching this game. But I like James Madison in this one. I'm going to go Jimmy on the road to get the win in front of a sad crowd once again in Charlottesville.
The Fighting Kurt Cignettis, I'm with you all. I like them. They got a really good young offensive mind. When the coaching carousel comes around this offseason in late November, early December, keep an offensive coordinator for Power 5 jobs names out there in Tino Sunseri, the former Pittsburgh quarterback, whose dad's the former defensive coordinator at Tennessee, Sal Sunseri, who was a disaster there. But Tino's a really good young offensive mind. I don't know if y'all know this or not. James Madison's favored by a touchdown. They're favored by 6 points in the Charlottesville. I'll eat the points. I'll go with James Madison as well. It does scare me a little bit that we're all on them in that regard. Noon on ESPN2, we stay in the ACC. We stay in the Commonwealth of Virginia, Zach. Purdue travels to take on Virginia Tech. Who do you like at Lane Stadium with the Hokies coming off the win over Old Dominion and Purdue coming off the loss to Fresno State?
Well, you know, it's no Fresno State at home. I'm going to go Hokie Hokie High in Blacksburg.
Corey, you went against Virginia Tech last week. You picked the Monarchs to do it again. They didn't. How do you like the Boilermakers against the Hokies this time around?
I'll take the closer Engineers. I will take the Hokies.
Virginia Tech for Corey and Zach. How about you, Heather?
I'm probably going to anger a lot of people here, but I'm not completely convinced that things are fixed in Blacksburg. And I think Purdue is going to be a little bit bigger test than Old Dominion was last week, so I'm actually going to go on the Boilermakers.
Purdue coming off the loss to Fresno State. I said on a different show last week that I really like the Bulldogs plus the field goal last week. They ended up winning the game outright by 4. This time around, Purdue is an underdog by a field goal on the road in Blacksburg. I told you last week I like Virginia Tech to win 4 games this year. Old Dominion last week, Purdue this week. I'm not going off that yet. Purdue's one of those 4 wins. Give me the Hokies at home. Notre Dame travels to North Carolina State. The Irish now ranked number 10 in the country as they go to Raleigh, the Carter-Finley Stadium, and take on the Wolfpack at noon on ABC. Heather, Notre Dame's off to a hot start. Does it keep rolling in Raleigh?
It keeps rolling in Raleigh. I don't know if it keeps rolling all year. I feel like Notre Dame is consistently one of the most overrated teams in college football, but I like them to win this week.
Zach, who do you like in Raleigh between the Irish and the Wolfpack?
You know what? I'm feeling a little frisky tonight. I'm going to go Wolfpack at home.
NC State with the new quarterback, Brennan Armstrong, the transfer from Virginia, reunited with his former offensive coordinator in Charlottesville, Robert Anai. Corey, you watched the Wolfpack last week when they knocked off UConn last Thursday on the opening night of the season.
Ooh.
Did you buy into the Fighting Dave Dorans to knock off the Irish in week 2?
No. I didn't buy into that. I think Notre Dame will go 3-0.
You all know I'm high on Notre Dame this year. I told you all that last week. I have them making the college football playoff. I like Sam Hartman a lot, the transfer from Wake Forest. A couple of ACC quarterback transfers here in Hartman and Armstrong. Hartman wins this battle. It's close. I may take NC State plus the 7 on the hook, but I'll eat with the Irish to win the game. I'll go with Notre Dame. The game everybody wants to talk about because it's the team that everybody wants to talk about. It's Nebraska. It's Colorado. Corey, who do you like in Boulder? Noon on Fox. Joel Klatt had not broadcasted a game involving his alma mater in almost a decade. He gets back-to-back now after calling the game against TCU this past week. Now they're ranked number 22 in the country, and they're favored by a field goal over the Cornhuskers. Does prime time and those Buffaloes do it again?
I call it the three-toe step with Deion Sanders, man. Let's go. I know it's funky, 2.5, but let's go. We're on a mile high. Let's go, Coach Prime. Yeah.
That's not right. Heather, are you buying in the prime time for week 2?
No, I'm not. But I don't know if I really am buying into Matt Rhule either. So this game's a little bit tougher than I think it probably should be for me to pick. Gone back and forth on this one. I think I'll take Nebraska.
Nebraska on the road for Heather. Maybe a little bit of an upset there, Zach. Are you buying into prime time?
Let me tell you something. I lived in Nebraska for a time, and that state is football crazy, and they hate Colorado. It's a weird little rivalry that they don't get to play that much. So this will be a big one for both schools. I think in Prime's home debut, they show out, and they get a big win over the Cornhuskers.
You all know how much I really respect Matt Rhule. I think he's going to do a phenomenal job in Lincoln. What he loves to do, though, he loves to take a program down to absolutely the depths. When he took over Temple year one, they won one game. Went on to win the AAC, hosted College Game Day. Then he went to Baylor. Year one, they won one game. A couple years later, they won the Big 12, then he left. And it didn't work out in the NFL, and there's a lot of reasons why. I think Nebraska will win this game. I am a little bit wary of the fact, though, that he does like to tear a program down to where they may not win a ton of games this year.
That way he wears the smocks every time?
He doesn't do that anymore, but yes, he did. He did in previous stops at Baylor and the Carolina Panthers. I'm going to go with Nebraska on the road as well. I will say this. Nebraska had trouble scoring points last week, but also TCU's defense was abysmal against Colorado. I think they're going to put up a little more of a stiffer test. They held Minnesota their least amount of average yards per play since 2017, Nebraska did last week. And you bring up this rivalry, Zach. You know what the Colorado folks say that N on the side of the helmet stands for, Nebraska, don't you? You'll like this one, Corey. Knowledge. Let that one sit with you there for a little while. Texas A&M travels to Miami. 3:30 on ABC is the Aggies. Head in to Coral Gables to take on the Hurricanes. Zach, the Aggies pulled out this win last year in College Station, and neither team did anything after it. Both teams didn't make a bowl game. Now there's a little bit of excitement about both teams heading into this matchup. Who wins it this time around at Hard Rock?
As a good faith and good child of the Virginia Tech Hokie football program, I cannot pick Miami in any sport. So with that being said, I'm going Texas A&M on the road.
Corey, A&M or Miami?
Yeah, let's go A&M.
A&M for everybody so far. Heather, how about you?
Yeah, I'll stay on the train. I'm not really enamored with either one of these teams, but I think A&M gets a win in this one.
I think Texas A&M is as interesting as any team in the country that may not be named Colorado because of Deion Sanders. The fact that Jimbo Fisher and Bobby Petrino and those two offensive minds are on the same staff and trying to decide who's calling the plays each time around as Fisher, the head coach, and Bob Petrino, the offensive coordinator. It's absolutely intriguing. It will probably turn into an explosion at some point and maybe even an implosion. I don't think it happens in week two. I think they're too much for the Hurricanes. Texas A&M favored by -4.5. Miami, though, if you're a fan of the ESPN FPI, they like the Hurricanes. A little over 50%. They're in favor of the Hurricanes at home. Just something to keep an eye on there. I'm going to go with A&M, though, on the road to take down Mario Cristobal and Miami and move to 2-0. One of two top 25 matchups in week two. Oh, I love this one. 3:30 ESPN2. Number 20 in the country, Ole Miss, coming off a massacre win last week over Mercer, taking on number 24, Tulane, who was a New Year's Six team, won the Cotton Bowl a year ago, and blew out South Alabama last week. 3:30 on ESPN2. Heather, who do you like between Ole Miss and Tulane?
I'm on the Lane train, baby. Give me Ole Miss.
That could have been either one. I thought maybe the Lane train also could have meant for Tulane. I was sort of waiting there to make sure we were on the same page before I wrote it down, Corey. How about you here? You round of Kiffin or Willie Fritz?
So you're saying that Ole Miss showed no Mercer to Mercer. Yeah, there you go. Let that one sit for a second.
I'd rather not.
With that being said, I am going to go with Ole Miss.
Ole Miss. Everybody riding with the Rebels and SEC so far, Zach. You hopping in with the group of five and Tulane?
No. Yeah, I'm going Ole Miss on the road. Give me all Lane shenanigans on the road.
There we go. Look at Jacob.
Didn't make a QB decision until the right before kickoff with Jackson Dart. They brought in Spencer Sanders, the transfer from Oklahoma State. They brought in the young backup from LSU that's one of the top recruits in the country from 2 years ago at Ole Miss. He still decides to go with Jackson Dart, the former USC transfer, the QB from last year. Tulane played their last game last year against USC in the Cotton Bowl and won. Willie Fritz didn't leave for Georgia Tech. Could have. He didn't. He kept everybody there. They lost one player. Tajay Spears was an NFL draft pick. They didn't lose anybody to the transfer portal. And I thought last week I liked South Alabama to cover the 6.5-point line because, first of all, South Alabama's a good football team if you're not going to watch them this year in the Fun Belt. But they didn't. They couldn't cover because Tulane was too good. They didn't look over them. I'm riding with Tulane here. I think they cover the 7.5. They're at home. And I think they send out a little bit of a wake-up notice. And let me tell you this. If Tulane wins this one and a couple other games happen as well, a lot of conversations are going to be had about the SEC, the conference you know I love, Corey. They lose LSU to Florida State last week. Florida got hammered by Utah on the opening night. South Carolina laid an egg in the second half against North Carolina. If Ole Miss loses to Tulane and a few of these other games may not go their way as well, there should be a lot of questions about the SEC coming out of week two. I'm going to ride with Tulane, though, at home. The other top 25 matchup of the week is just maybe a little bit of a big one. Just a small, tiny, big one going on in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, Bryan Denny Stadium, 7 o'clock on ESPN. Number 11, Texas. Number 3, Alabama. Steve Sarkisian taking on his former boss, Nick Saban, Corey. It was such a close game last year in Austin. Alabama pulled it out by a point after Quinn Ewers got hurt. But that was with Bryce Young. Now it's Jalen Milroe behind center for the Tide. Who do you like in Tuscaloosa on Saturday night, Mr. Sanchez?
Oh, I like my Alabama Crimson Tide.
Not buying into the Texas hype is Corey. Are you, Heather?
Yes. I think that Texas is, if Notre Dame's not the most overrated program in football, then it's Texas. And if you look at the record of former Alabama assistants against Alabama, it's not good. So I'm going to roll with the Tide.
Steve Sarkisian had that stat thrown at him the other night on ESPN of Kevin Agande and Booger McFarland. He responded with, well, what's everybody else's record against him for the guys who didn't coach under him? It's not very good either, Zach. But the fact of the matter is that he's 0-1 so far. Does he get that first win against him, or does he drop to 0-2 before he joins the SEC next year?
No, let me tell you something. I'm 0-1 in Texas as well. I almost fell prey to a Waffle House waitress back about 15 years ago. And, you know, I really haven't had much for the burnt orange ever since. So I'm going to go Roll Tide on this one.
As a Tennessee fan, I would like to say that it is brown, not any shade of orange.
That is a shade of orange. Stop it. Stop it. You've been obnoxious.
I will go Alabama at home. I told you last week, everybody's doubting the Tide. Not me. Not me. I'm with you, Nick. I'm going to roll for Alabama at home. Everybody going Alabama, though, huh? Okay. We'll see. Let's all head to high school football, huh? Northeast Tennessee Week 4. Got an undefeated battle. Only a few undefeated teams left standing in the area. Heather, South Green travels to Chucky Doak. South Green's 2-0. Chucky Doak's 3-0. Battle in Green County between a couple of unbeatens. Who do you like to stay undefeated?
This is a great battle, and it's our feature game that of the week on Friday Night Huddle. It's not our live game, but it's our feature game for our high school football show. I'm high on South Green this year. I love Jacob Susan at quarterback, and I'm going to go with the Rebels.
South Green for Heather. Zach, where are you at on this one?
You know what? I like Chucky Doak at home. I think they play well at home. This is, you know, a little bit of a rivalry game. I like Chucky Doak to squeak this one out.
At the Chucky Doak at the Black Hole. Corey, who do you like on Friday night to stave that zero on the right side of the column?
South Green's usually had the best of Chucky Doak in this one, right? I'm going to go Chucky Doak with the Okie Doak.
You bring up the better part of it. Chucky Doak did win last year, though, 34-6. But South Green has won 36 of the previous 48, 4 of the last 5, 5 of the last 7. Let's keep adding one of their favor here. I'm going to go with Heather and go with Sean Jones and the Rebels to move to 3-0 and give Chucky Doak their first loss of the year of the road victory on Friday night. Battle in Carter County. Happy Valley still looking for win number 1. Zach, you've picked them already a couple times. Hasn't went your way yet. They take on a Hampton team that's trying to get healthy and trying to find their way right now, sitting at 1-2. Who do you like between the Warriors and the Bulldogs, Mr. Helton?
Go ahead and sing it, Corey. You know where I'm going.
Oh, yeah. Hampton, oh, Hampton. I heard that.
Going to Hampton.
There we go.
All right. Okay. Corey, are you going Hampton as well?
You know what? Hampton hasn't given up a point in this series over the last 3 games. So, in the words of Deion Sanders, do you have it?
I'm looking.
Somebody get my theme music.
If that's your theme music, my friend, I'm sorry.
But I'll go Hampton.
Yeah, I don't have it here. I'm sorry.
That's a shame. That's a shame.
We'll have to find it another time. I don't know where it is. I'll look into our archives. But Hampton, for everybody so far, Heather, where are you at on this one between Happy Valley and Hampton on Friday night?
So I was pretty high on Happy Valley going into the season, but they haven't shown me much so far this year. As you mentioned, Hampton's a little bit dinged up, but I think that they're still playing better at this point, so I'm going to go with the Bulldogs as well. No song for me.
I will tell you this about the song, though. They honored their high school basketball state championship team from last year a couple weeks ago on a Sunday afternoon. And I heard an interview with their athletic director and a couple of their boosters at Hampton about their big event, and they played that song as the guys entered in the arena for the big celebration of the ring ceremony.
Oh, gosh.
They played that song. So
Weren't you were sent on like a scouting mission to get that song?
I never found it. I've been to Hampton. I've broadcasted a few football games from Hampton. I've heard that song played many times while I've been there. I wanted that song nowhere near my vehicle on the way out, though. So, no, I did not pick that up. I let some coffee people get that another time. Dobbins Bennett travels to Jefferson County. Oh, Duplin Valley is where the Indians head this week. They're looking for a second straight win, Corey. Can they find it against the Patriots of Jeff County who are coming off the win over Science Hill?
Yeah, let's go with the band.
You're going to go with Dobbins Bennett for Corey. Heather, who do you like between the Indians and the Patriots?
Man, if Jeff County wins this game, they're pretty much in the driver's seat to win that region. I hate picking against the local teams, but I'm going to go with Jeff County on this one after their pretty impressive win over Science Hill.
The Fighting Spencer Riley. Zach, you know my stat about Spencer Riley, at least my note about him. He was a starting offensive lineman on the 98 Tennessee National Championship team, head coach at Jefferson County. Does that matter to you when it comes to this game, Mr. Helton?
No, nothing about anything Tennessee football matters to me.
Rude.
Here's the thing. As long as this doesn't end in a tie, we all win and the band plays on. I'm going to go Jefferson County at home.
Or at least a no contest as well. Make sure that everybody can maybe get a refund at least later on. We'll get to that another time. We're split so far. I'm going to go with Mr. Sanchez. Give me Dobbins been on the road. I was doubting him. I was sort of maybe writing an obituary for him last week if they lost to Westridge. I was getting ready for it. I already had a couple sentences written. Then I came out there and hammered Westridge after trailing early to the Wolves. 14-0. They scored 20 points in about 5 or 6 minutes against the Wolves. Give me Dobbins Bennett. Let's go with the Indians. Let's see what happens for Joey Christian and the guys as they head down to Duplin Valley and Mossy Creek down there in Jefferson City. Daniel Boone travels to Morristown West. Morristown West sits 2-1. Daniel Boone coming off a big shutout win over David Crockett, and they now sit at 1-2. Zach, who do you like between the Trailblazers and the Trojans?
I'm going to go Mo West at home for their third win of the year.
Corey, who do you like in this one?
Yeah, give me Morristown West.
Morristown West for everybody so far. Heather, who do you like?
Speaking of writing obituaries, I think everybody had written theirs for Daniel Boone after last week. They came out and hammered, albeit a very limited, use that word, David Crockett team. If Morristown West wins this one, I think they've wrapped up the district pretty much at that point. I don't think Boone's going to let that happen, so I'm going to go with Daniel Boone.
Oh, wow. Daniel Boone for Heather. She's going to be the lone one on the Trailblazers because I'm going to go with Morristown West as well. Last year, Daniel Boone won this game 38-7, but Morristown West had won the previous 8. They've won 15 of the previous 20 matchups in this series. Ain't they get win number 16 against Daniel Boone? Give me Morristown West at Burke-Tony Stadium. Unicorn County travels to Sullivan East. It's the Blue Devils. It is the Patriots in Bluff City. They both sit 2-1 for Drew Rice's and J.C. Simmons' squads. Heather, who do you like here between Unicorn County and Sullivan East?
Until somebody shows me that they can stop Drake Fisher, and even in the loss, Tennessee High couldn't stop him. He had 500 yards passing. I'm riding that Sullivan East train.
Sullivan East and J.C. Simmons for Heather. Corey, who do you like between the Blue Devils and the Patriots?
Give me Unicoi.
Going to go Unicoi County for Mr. Sanchez. We're split so far, Zach. Which way are you leaning?
You know what? I like Sullivan East in this one. I think they're setting themselves up for a special year, and I think they win this one at home. They got 3-1.
Least surprising pick of the night, Corey, that everybody's talking about how great Sullivan East is, and you go against the former Emory Henry quarterback, J.C. Simmons. But I'm going to go with you. Unicorn County's won the last five in this matchup. Sullivan still actually leads the all-time series, 21-20. I'm going to ride with Drew Rice and say he keeps the roll going here for the Blue Devils. Give me Unicorn County to move the 3-1 on the road against Sullivan East. Let's head to Southwest Virginia. Mr. Helton, Richlands is 0-2. But they take on Tazewell, and you toss out the records when the Bulldogs and the Tornado get together. At the Bulldogs are sitting at 0-1. Zach, who do you like as Tazewell? I can't believe I'm about to say this. They've won two of the last three in this series.
Yeah, it's bizarre times here in Tazewell County. You know, Richlands went years with a tremendous high-powered offense, and this year it's moving at a snail's pace. Pretty much the only thing that has kept a shutout from both games was a misplay in the end zone on an interception. Like you said, you throw the records out here, but, man, it's a long year for the Big Blue. I think Tazewell gets this one at home. It will be their first win at Tazewell since the dreaded 12-10 game in 2003 that I was a part of. Man, not Richlands. I can't quite grasp to say it, but it won't be Richlands Friday night.
I'm making sure my heart's still inside my chest at the moment. I can't believe what I'm hearing right now.
My heart's been gone.
Corey, we saw them. We saw Richlands last week when they got beat by Union 41-0. Their offense couldn't move the ball. Their defense couldn't stop the ball. It was a bad showing there from Tornado all the way around. Where are you at on this one here between Tornado and the Bulldogs?
There you go. This is the big one.
Yeah.
Elizabeth, we're coming to join you. We're coming to join you with the Tazewell Bulldogs.
Thank you.
Give me the dogs.
I always like when we can bring out the Jefferson. Jefferson's here on the show. What did I say?
That's Sanford and Son.
Oh, no, bring out the, I'm sorry.
Oh,
I'm
my
sorry.
God.
I'm sorry. That's on me. Sorry, Fred. I'm sorry,
you were
Fred.
Uncultured.
I'm sorry, Fred.
Uncultured swine.
I apologize. I apologize.
I feel like you lose a point just for missing that.
Okay. Yes. All right. Thank you, Heather. Okay.
Jacob, you big dummy.
Thank you. Thank you, Fred. Thank you. Thank you. We're Tazewell so far. Heather, are you riding with the Bulldogs too?
You say throw out the records going to this game. Both teams wish they could throw out the records. It's going to be ugly, but Tazewell's going to win.
Tazewell for Heather and everybody else. I'm going to go for Tazewell too. Wow, man, I can't believe it's 3 out of 4 for Tazewell maybe in this series. Shocking. Just shocking to see that. But, boy, we saw Richlands last week, and it was shocking.
Yeah. Maybe Zach Helton needs to give him a motivational pep talk.
How about Holston and John?
They ain't listening to me.
Well, we talked to a few people down there. Hopefully they do start listening to a few other people.
Yeah, they don't want to hear what I have to say about it.
Hey, now. Holston and John Battle, Corey. John Battle won one game last year. It was against Holston. They've already won a game. This year was against Abingdon. Holston and John Battle both 1-1. Who do you like in Bristol between the Cavaliers and the Trojans?
I feel like I'm going to see, like, these are back-to-back sick picks, right? I'm still going to go John Battle. I'm confident in them.
They lost last week, Heather, to Virginia High, 13-6. Do they bounce back and get win number 2 for Brad Ricker?
Yes. I saw that game between Battle and Abingdon in week 1, and while Abingdon is admittedly down this season, I'm a believer in the Trojans. I'm officially on their bandwagon. I'm going with John Battle.
Zach, you said, I'm not there yet. Let's go Virginia High last week, and it was a good call by you. Where are you at this time around with them against Holston?
Yeah, it's kind of that big brother complex last week. Virginia High just feels like they've got to get them in football because more so than not, they don't get them in baseball. I think this is a different animal here. I think Battle at home is going to be tough this year, and I think they win this one over Holston.
I'm going to go John Battle as well. They've won 9 of the previous 11 against the Cavaliers, make it 10 out of 12. The game that they'll be having over there on Heather's TV station, Abingdon and Gate City. Boy, this was a matchup that really changed the entire perplexion of seasons for these two teams last year. Now Gate City comes in 2-0, still riding the high from last year's win. They kept the streak rolling. Abingdon still trying to find themselves here, trying to seek an identity, Heather. What happens this time around between the Falcons and the Blue Devils?
The same thing that happened last year. I think Gate City gets the win. Abingdon is super young, and I think that's attributed a lot of their struggles so far in the season. When you're young and you're struggling, this Gate City team is not what you want to see. So I'm going to go with the Blue Devils.
Zach, Gate City, keep it rolling?
I think so. I think Legion Field, when that team is good, that is one of the toughest places in the area to play. It's been said so many times, Abingdon is down. I'm just going to go Blue Devils at home. I think they win big.
Blue Devils big, according to Zach. Corey, that's your home now. You're a Gate Cityan.
I guess so.
You're all about the city. The city. Where are you at on this one?
Yeah, there's big energy in Gate City. And dare I say, is this a trap game? It feels like a trap game. It really does. I know Abingdon's young, but I can't, like, I want to sleep with both eyes closed at night, so I feel like I have to go with the Blue Devils. Give me Gate City.
We got sort of split allegiances there. I don't know. I mean, you
may look, Abingdon pays the bills, but, you know, we make our home.
Home. Is?
Yeah, I got you.
I hear you.
I don't think anybody in Abingdon listens to us. So,
well,
somebody's not paying that phone bill this week. I can tell you that.
That's correct.
Hey, we went back. Both cash cows. We went against UVA and we went against
Abingdon. Yeah,
so.
You better watch yourself now. I am going to go with Gate City at home as well. I think the Blue Devils take this one. They actually control the all-time series 29-16. They get win number 30 against Abingdon. Honaker and Rye Cove, we had both of these coaches on the show earlier tonight. The Tigers and the Eagles both sit at 2-0, Corey. These two teams were two of the top teams being looked at coming into Region 1D coming into this year for Todd Tiller and Gary Collier's squads. Who wins at the Eagles' Nest?
I'm just going to say Rye. They haven't played in 20 years. I'm going to say Rye Cove. Just because they're at home. And that's a haul from Honaker to Rye Cove. I did that drive pretty much one day in the middle of the night. So
why?
Yeah. Long story.
After the show?
Yeah.
I think I already know the story, Biz. You're going Rye Cove? Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah.
Okay.
I live in Scott County.
Okay. Yeah. RC for Corey. Zach, you're a fan of RC Cola.
I am, but I'm not drinking the War Eagle blood this week. Honaker's high-powered offense, they've got so many weapons. We won't go into why they have so many weapons, but they do. And they're going to make a run here. But this is a sneaky good game. I think Rye Cove does keep it close until late, but I like Honaker to pull this one out and win it.
Heather, who do you like from the Tigers and the Eagles?
I love what Coach Collier's done at Rye Cove, but the knock on them last year was their strength of schedule. They didn't really play anyone tough. They correct that by playing Honaker this week, who I believe pound for pound, regardless of class, might be the best team in the area. So I'm definitely high on the Tigers.
I like Honaker on the road as well. I told Todd Tiller when I spoke to him earlier this week, I said, when you left Ridgeview, we talked about it, and I said, I wanted to keep you talking on the show. We don't cover a ton of Honaker, though. Let's be honest. We don't cover a ton of Honaker here. I said, but if you win, we cover Southwest Virginia. If you win, we'll have you on. They've won. They're going to keep winning. I'm with you all. I'm buying again to the Tigers. Rye Cove hasn't given up a point yet. Not in the regular season. I watched them in the Jamboree at J.I. Burton to give up a point that night. They didn't give up a point in their exhibition game against Uneka from Northeast Tennessee. They haven't seen a point on the board yet. That's going to change. And that's nothing against Rye Cove. This Honaker team's really good. Rye Cove's really good, too.
I'm audible.
Don't get me wrong. Rye Cove's going to be really good, too. They're going to win the Cumberland. We've been through this many times. Give me Honaker, though, on the road, as I think the Tigers keep it rolling. I don't think it's as big of a blowout as they've had in the first 2 weeks, but they still win fairly comfortably for the Tigers on Friday night. Eastside travels to Riverview, West Virginia. Zach Helton, who do you like here between the Spartans and Riverview as Eastside tries to get a second straight win coming off the overtime victory over Hurley last week?
That's a tough little road trip from Eastern Wise County to McDowell, but let me tell you something. That is a tremendous place to not only take in a game but call a game, as they got to do so a few years ago. They've got the turf. I don't see Eastside. I think, you know, maybe a little jet lag once they get there, but I think Eastside gets a big win on Friday in Wild and Wonderful.
Corey, how about you here? This is the first time they've ever played each other.
Yeah, let's go with Eastside here.
Eastside for Corey and Zach. Heather?
Yeah, I thought going into the season that Eastside was going to get closer to what they'd been in the past and kind of correct what was a season they'd like to forget last year in Coburn. So, yeah, I'm going to go with Eastside as well.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Mike Rhodes, and the Spartans were all on Eastside so far. How about Science Hill making the road trip from Johnson City to the Big Stone Gap? This is a road trip I know fairly well. Hilltoppers taking on the Bears at Bullet Park on Friday night. First time these two's ever faced off against each other. Stacy Carter brings his 1-2 Science Hill team to take on a 2-0 team from Union, Heather, that hasn't given up a point yet to either Lehigh or Richlands for the first game, and really it was a half against Lehigh, but still two games for the season for Travis Turner's squad. Who wins at Bullet Park?
This is a fascinating matchup for me because this is one of the biggest, well, I think the second biggest school that we cover from Tennessee against a tiny comparable Union team. I think I said on the TV show, the prep pick show, that you could fit about five Unions in the Science Hill. And I think just the difference in depth is going to be what decides this game. I think, you know, athlete for athlete on the first team, Union could probably hang with them. I think that it'll be close early, but I just think with the depth and not having to play two ways and that kind of stuff, that Science Hill is going to wear them down, and I think the Toppers will pull away.
Zach, this is a sort of matchup we don't see too often from the really big schools in Northeast Tennessee, the classic schools like Heather's talking about in Science Hill. And yes, Union, one of the bigger schools in Southwest Virginia at Class 2, but we don't see these kind of matchups too often. How does this one bear out on Friday night?
Yeah, I'm with Heather. You know, I think the depth is going to play probably the biggest key into this. But shout out to Travis and the key, and the team down at Union for scheduling this game. Like, you know, going against Goliath, essentially. I know there's a few people out there worried about where Science Hill's band is going to go because of the stands at Bullet Park, but I think wherever they are, they'll be playing the fight song a few times, and I think Science Hill gets Union.
There's a wonderful Little League baseball field next door. If they want to just stand up over there, I'm sure that they are more than welcome to. Corey, Science Hill, Union, who do you like here? You saw Union last week. I've seen Union the first two weeks. Who do you like this time around, though, when the Hilltoppers come to town in my hometown?
Yeah, I think it's going to be the Fighting Spurs there.
Science Hill for Corey. Union hasn't given up a point yet. This is...
That's going to change.
It's going to change. It's going to absolutely change. Some of the Rykoflin we talked about a couple games ago. Science Hill is going to win this game. And this is a game, similar game that Travis Turner's tried to get on the schedule now for about 4 or 5 years. He's one of these bigger Northeast Tennessee schools on the schedule. Hadn't quite gotten it all to work out the last couple of years. COVID messed up that a little bit as well. Remember, Tennessee played in the fall. Virginia played in the spring, and that backed up some contracts. He's happy to get this one finally on the schedule for Science Hill. And I think it's going to be a great test for the Bears. How about these next few weeks for Union? Science Hill this week, next week on the road at Graham, the following week Gate City comes to town, a road trip at Twin Springs after that, and then Ridgeview comes to town. That's their next five games. That's a lot of playoff teams. That's a lot of wins from the last couple of years on the trek here for Union over the next 5 weeks for a team that's rolled through the first two opponents. Science Hill gets the win this time around against the Bears, though, and Union just dropped the first game of the year in the Hilltoppers. Get back to 500. The game we'll have on our sister station, 92.5 and 1220 WLSD. As always, your home for the J.I. Burton Raiders. They're looking for win number one. Patrick Henry comes to town. Corey, can the Rebels keep it rolling against J.I. Burton, or do finally the Raiders get win number one?
The Rebels.
That'd be Patrick Henry. Heather.
Patrick Henry has the biggest offensive line I have ever seen from a Class 1 school. I've been high on them all year. I think they're going to be the only team in Class 1 in this part of the state that's going to be able to hang with Honeaker. I'm really high on the Rebels, so I'm going with Patrick Henry.
And I think they're going to get a couple chances at Honeaker as well. Obviously, the regular season matchup between the two Hokie Hickey teams, and then I would most likely say they'll face each other at some point, depending upon seeding, if it all bears out. In the postseason of the Region 1D playoff. Zach, who do you like at Lawson Fitchco?
Yeah, Heather, alluding to that offensive line, fun fact, been thrown around down at the Emory area, that offensive line gets a second lunch at the Emory and Henry Calf during the day to get themselves even bigger.
Yeah.
But I'm going to go PH on the road. I'm with Heather. I think PH is probably the only one in 1D this year that can compete with Honeaker, and Burton is just Burton's just kind of a shell of themselves here recently, and I think they've been in for another tough week.
At some point, Heather, when you try to get into that area of the campus, isn't there like an Andrew McClung shrine to him at his alma mater there at Emory Henry?
please don't blow his head up any higher.
Okay.
Just one of the... It's not really a shrine. It's just Andrew McClung taking a picture with Mac McClung.
There it is. It's the McClungs. And
no,
actually,
that's down in my hometown.
Emory Henry's trying to take credit for the other McClung. You're right on that. I'm going to go Patrick Henry on the road, too. I don't think it's going to be fairly close. Burton's got some cards stacked against him here in 2023, and Patrick Henry, I think, will roll. They came to J.I. Burton a few weeks ago for the Jamboree, played okay. They weren't quite healthy then. They're healthy now. They'll move to 3-0. Last game for us here. It's the game we'll have on 93.5 WAXM. The Mountain District clash, I should say, between Ridgeview and Central. Wolfpack sit at 2-0, Zach. Back-to-back blowouts over Region 1D teams Burton and Grundy the first 2 weeks, while Central barely squeaked by Eastside in week one and then got beat on the road at Marion last week 27-12. Who wins up on the hill between the Wolfpack and the Warriors?
I really think that loss at Marion for Central tells more than it probably should. Despite being on the top of the Walmart, I think Ridgeview's going to get this one on stay perfect on the year.
Ridgeview for Zach. Corey?
Yeah, Ridgeview.
Ridgeview for Corey. Heather?
Until you can prove you can beat the king, I got to roll with the king. Ridgeview was the champ last year the Mountain 7, so yeah. I'm going with Ridgeview again.
Yeah, I think it's Ridgeview this time around. I don't think they're the best team in the Mountain 7 this year, but they will be the best team on the field Friday night in Norton between them and the Warriors. Give me Ridgeview to move to 3-0 and Central to drop to 1-2. There on Friday night. And you can listen to the game right here on 93.5 WAXM. Again, over on our sister station, 92.5 and 1220 WLSD. It'll be Patrick Henry and J.I. Burton. Saturday, we'll have UVA Wise football for you. Pre-game 11:30. Kickoff at noon as the Cavaliers travel to take on Thomas Moore this coming Saturday afternoon. And then obviously we'll be back with you next Thursday night for Pigskin Picks as we continue the trek through this season. As it is flying already by us, we're already into our first show of September and our second Friday night of September this week here for the football season. Heather, as always, thanks so much for joining us as our guest picker. Good luck to you on the pick. Safe travels out there, and make sure you tell everybody where they can find the game on Friday night and where they can find y'all's highlights as well following all the games.
Yeah, the game this week is going to be on Fox 39, pregame at 6:30, game at 7. Again, it's Abingdon at Gate City. And then if you're at the game and you just want to check out the highlights, Friday Night Huddle at 11:15 on News 5.
Very good. Heather, thank you so much. Good luck to you on the picks. Hopefully you can move up there up in the standings as you did there a couple years ago as our 2021 champion. Corey, Zach, we'll talk to you again next week, fellas, as we'll keep this trek rolling for us here on Thursday nights, as always. Thank you, as always.
You're welcome, as always.
Thank you. All right, remember, you can always catch the show on demand on the 93.5 WAXM SoundCloud page. Also online at WAXM.com. Just go to the On Demand tab, and you can find this week's show along with the past shows as well right there at WAXM.com on the On Demand tab. So, as always, thanks so much for spending your Thursday night with us. If you're listening to us on your Friday, heading into your Friday night clash as well that you're heading in to see, thank you for that. Along with you spending your Friday evenings and Thursday nights with us. Always happy to have you here with us. Big shows coming up in the next few weeks. Looking forward to them as we keep the roll going here into high school football and the college football season. So we'll talk to you next week. For Corey Sanchez, Zach Helton, I'm Jacob Townsend on Pigskin Picks on 93.5 WAXM.
Thanks for listening to Pigskin Picks, brought to you by Food City, Eastman Credit Union, and Delegate Terry Kilgore. Pigskin Picks is a production of Valley Broadcasting and Communications.